は今デイビッド・リー・ロスを聞いています。朝一番にロス・ラディオ、ショックなくらいにいつも同じ。You are listening to David Lee Roth, Roth Radio, first thing in the morning. Shockingly consistent.
David Lee Roth, live in front of your naked, steaming eyes here. And I have a very, very, very special guest that we did not expect. And he showed up yesterday afternoon just as we were finishing up the job here. I'd like to introduce one of the most special people in my course of instruction in the martial arts. And, of course, the martial arts has become a way of life for me here. So this is somebody who's almost family here. What a great surprise. Mr. Shikai, Shikai Sensei, my kendo teacher. How are you, man?
Well, very good. Thank you. Good morning.
How did you find us, Mr. Shikai? How did
you find us? Well, actually, I heard about you've been kind of transferred to New York from L.A., last year, and I didn't know till I got here a few days ago. Then a kendo student of mine told me that you'll be taking over the Howard Stern's radio show. So, and I said, that's great. Then I see on a bus advertisement and also at the Times Square, I see a beautiful picture of you on a mirror. And it's great. I was so happy to see it.
Now you know how I paid for kendo lessons.
Yeah. So I'm so honored. And then I thought maybe I should get a hold of Dave and see get in touch with him. And so student of mine went to the website trying to hold up the station. It took a while, but finally he found the information, and that's what I get to. Come to this,
you found us. You showed up here at the building. This is classic martial artist style. This is Koru, old school style. We always run into each other because this is a community that always finds each other again and again.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Mr. Shikai here is our kendo teacher. Can you explain to our friends out there, and there's about 2 million of them listening now. Mr. Shikai, can you explain what kendo is?
Kendo is basically means a way of sword, and it's if you most of you seen Last Samurai a couple years ago in the movies, and kendo basically started within Japan about 200-300 years ago.
300 years
ago. Yeah. Then using the samurai were using live blade or a katana. And during the training, it was so many injuries, and so this person developed this kendo equipment with placing a real sword to a bamboo sword, so it became more or less protective equipment, so full contact. So without injuries.
And he's talking about the bamboo swords that you've seen in the movies here that make full contact. It's Japanese fencing.
Yes, it is.
Is what this is. And those of you out there in the sound of my voice, you've seen it before where we wear the helmet with the grill in front and the classic lacquered armor and the gloves and so forth. What time period does that outfit come from?
It comes sometime like Edo period.
Edo period would be what, 1700s?
Yeah, 1800.
Okay.
1800.
And this is traditional costume. It has not changed in all of these years, correct?
Yes, it's still the same. And now it's very much not only Japan now, it's very worldwide, international.
Well, I have been involved in the martial arts for many years, but you're saying also that the kendo community is expanding.
Yes, it is. It's all over the world now, and... for example, in New York, we have, matter of fact, within the OUS, we have a OUS Kendo Federation, and I'm involved with the federation itself. Well, I'm one of the directors, and trying to promote kendo throughout the United States and the world as well.
And what degree black belt are you, sir? Now
I'm a seventh degree degree black belt, if you call it. We do not have black belt as such, but we have a same type degree that karate or judo will have.
And when you advance, next time you have to travel to Kyoto, Japan.
You pretty much familiar with that. Presently, outside of Japan, there's about four or five countries allowed to have a promotional test for 8th degree, which is the top rank. Which you may go to Japan, like you said, mentioned in Kyoto every year, actually twice a year in Japan, in Kyoto in May, month of May, and then month of November in Tokyo.
And how many years, Mr. Shikai, have you been doing kendo? What age did you start at?
I started at the age of 15. And I'm 57 now. This is my 42nd year.
You look like you're 42 years old.
Oh, thank you.
This is a great art form for staying young forever,
yes,
huh?
Yes, it is.
And when you're talking about doing a kendo vacation, what does that mean?
Well, vacation, I came here for 1 week, and there's a couple kendo dojo that I have not visited previously, and this time I really wanted to go to dojo, which is located in Manhattan.
And is that Kataoka Sensei?
Yes, one is Kataoka Sensei I visited last night. Another one is Ebihara Sensei, which is in Kenzen Dojo.
Okay. So are you one of the preeminent kendo teachers in the United States? That's inarguable, true?
Yeah, it is.
And because you travel from coast to coast all the time.
Yes, I do.
Where do you call your home right now?
My home?
Yes.
Well, basically, my whole family does kendo.
Uh-huh.
My wife also 5th degree.
Oh, my.
I have two daughters.
How old are your daughters?
My 19 and 16.
What age did they start in?
They started when they were still like 3 or 4 years old.
3 or 4 years
yes.
old. Well, I've seen that at Kataoka Sensei's dojo when I was training in kendo. We had several little girls who were 9 years old, and
yes.
they were just starting out. They train right alongside of
They do. Matter of fact, as a family as a whole, we do go to the dojo, and even though children still not quite up to power to start, but they observed our training every week, so most likely they'll be in together with the others.
Oh, and it creates a great community, but also when you start children that young, they learn to confront others in a peaceful but dramatic way.
It's quite.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
I think it's a character-building exercise more than a sport. Do you agree or disagree?
Agree.
Can you explain to us what Bujitsu is?
Budo, if you see in what you call kanji, which is Chinese character, means a way of samurai to learn swordsmanship.
And what does that swordsmanship, why would somebody want to learn swordsmanship in this day and age?
Well, it's, if you know, heard about Miyamoto Musashi, which is a famous legendary samurai who went through many challenges and battles, and never got killed, and he died of old age. And he's a very good example because of his self-discipline, hard training, and with a, manner, etiquette. And basically what samurai, whole samurai's training still continued to the kendo itself.
You're talking about using the sword to train yourself.
Yes, it is.
That becomes an issue. We were talking earlier with a fellow on television, John Stossel, about rudeness in our culture
yes.
today.
Yes.
And that's one of the elements that we train ourselves, that we seek perhaps to train out of ourselves.
Yes, it is.
For me, it started off at Sensei Kataoka Sensei up there,
yes,
mopping the floor. That's how.
Yes, it is.
That's
cleaning the dojo when the first thing you get there, and that's the part of the training.
And I had already sold a lot of records, and the first thing he handed me instead of a sword was a mop.
Mop, yes, it is.
That's the character building issue. Why would you teach? I'm talking to the folks out there. Why would you teach somebody to use a sword or to throw a kick or a punch if they don't have manners first?
Yes, manners. I start with the manner. And kendo, we have. If you call a policy, I was saying you begin with a manner, you finish with the manners. And that's basically, even though, many people do ask, if you do kendo, but if you don't have a weapon, how are you able to overcome the opponent? But same time you build up your spiritual part of your kendo. And that's all martial art, not only kendo, but what's called ki. Which is it's called the force within your spirit, and if your ki or your force is strong enough, you can overcome the opponent without a weapon.
I have faced you,
yes,
in battle many times, and your ki is enough to send a helicopter through the back wall. No, the energy that you're talking is a spiritual energy.
It's spiritual energy.
There is no way to just lift weights and get this. There is no way to just run track and get this.
Yes.
You're talking about developing an internal energy that when we shout, as we practice, as we train,
exactly,
it develops. And that's, and correct me if I'm mistaken, but that's an energy that you use to accomplish everything else in your life.
Yes, it is. You're very knowledgeable of that.
I had a great teacher.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why now, kendo is not just Japanese itself, and like it's international. And now, for last 15, 20 years, other than Japanese, we have many Asian and also American, Korean community. People are very dedicated to kendo now, and population-wise, very much growing. And we have some people responsibility of taking care of an East Coast. We have many other Korean kendo clubs exist, and more and more developing. And I have a very good friend, Mr. David Kim, and who really helped me to show this area.
So it's bigger than just Japanese community now. It's international.
Yes, it sure is.
Is this going to ever be part of the Olympics?
Yeah, well, hopefully in the future, probably near future, hopefully.
I would think so, because it is. I see this now all over the world when I travel. Was kendo the Japanese national sport? How does this
play?
Yes,
you call it sports in Japan. They prefer not to call kendo as sports. But again, the younger generation might go for sports, but still, kendo is number one in Japan.
And in terms of number one, is this part of the normal school curriculum and grade
yes,
school?
Yes, it is. It is.
Explain how that works. What is the schedule? What is the training?
Well, the schedule is the regular academic classes. Then either you take budo, which is martial art, or sports like baseball, soccer or basketball. If you don't, then either you take judo, kendo, or karate.
And these are the classic. When you say the word do, it's different than the word jitsu.
And jitsu is it's still it's go with the way of jitsu means various type of techniques within the martial art.
Okay, and when you say, for example, judo, it's a way of life. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yeah, well, it's yawara, which is that kind of throwing type of technique. But still, the spiritual and the discipline and the teaching is it's similar.
And when you teach grade school kids, what age would they start at in school?
Usually, the youngest probably start around 6 or 7.
So like third grade or something
third
like
grade.
That. And
yes.
they're picking up a bamboo sword at that point in time and
yes,
starting to do their training. They're
yes.
starting to do repetitions. And will that continue up through junior high school, high school?
Yes, it is.
And that is mandatory, is it?
Mandatory,
not?
Yes.
Well, it's a character building issue. And,
yes.
you know, nobody thinks more in straight lines than kendoka, those, you know.
Exactly.
Who
well, Dave, you know, you actually, your reasoning is way better than what I'm explaining now.
No, you explain it perfectly because it comes in the tone. When I'm doing showbiz here, you really are made of what that sword is made of here. So do you feel that this... Well, let me say this. I remember when we went to training at in South Central Los Angeles,
yes.
And there were there's 100 people there, and I'd like to talk about some of the older gentlemen who were training alongside there. Can you sit through a few commercials and stay with us for another 10 minutes?
Sure.
This is my kendo teacher, Mr. Shikai Sensei, who showed up at our door very surprisingly yesterday afternoon. Our very special guest, somebody who means a very special lot to me. Don't go away. We're going to talk about the ancient ways again right after this.
Thank you.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Anata wa ima David Lee Roth o kiite imasu. Asa ichiban ni Roth Radio. ショックなくらいにいつも同じ。You are listening to David Lee Roth, Roth Radio, first thing in the morning. Shockingly consistent.
David Lee Roth, hoping to be consistent here, Roth Radio, with my very special guest here, my kendo instructor, Mr. Shikai Sensei. How are you this afternoon?
Very good, thank you.
It's a surprise and a privilege to have you here. I did not expect that you would show up downstairs, but now that you're here, it makes all the sense in the world.
Well, thank you for your kind words.
I've been a martial artist since I was 12 years old. I earned my kendo armor with Mr. Shikai here, and I have a house in Pasadena, California, where I transformed one room into a kendo hall.
It's amazing. It's a quite nice place.
Oh, man, we've got the floor there from 1924.
Yes, it is.
That has just enough give, just like a ballet floor or something like that.
Right. It does kind of look like a traditional Japanese dojo.
Yeah, well, it's from the 20s, you
yes,
know,
it is.
With the big high ceilings, and we've spent hundreds of hours in there. That was an amazing training, and Matt and I talk about it frequently here. Matt Sensio, who is my manager, you also trained with us. What was your experience with that, Matt?
I think I had the most unique experience of all because I got to get beat up by a rock star and a seventh degree kendo master at once. Beat that.
Well, it built character, as we can certainly discern from here. Mr. Shikai, when I visited you at the training in South Central L.A., there were some individuals there, some sensei, teachers, instructors.
Yeah, actually, it was East L.A.
Okay, in East L.A.
Yes.
And who were those gentlemen that were there?
Those are very distinguished master sensei from Japan, which are a very good friend of mine. He is one of the few top rank master in Japan, and he is still training very hard. Presently, he's 80 years old, and he's a 9th degree black belt.
And I watched him take on one by one every single person in the class, and there were almost 100 people there.
Yes.
And he beat every single person. It was almost as if he could see what you were thinking before you thought.
Exactly. That's where the spiritual part of the kendo comes from. So he might be you might see 80-year-old gentlemen. They say, "Oh, you know, it's no problem beating the guy." But if his key, that all the many years of training he did, he just know you exactly what you're coming from, and before even without any attack prior to that, he know exactly what you're up to. So, again, 80-year-old gentleman, you know, even without a stick or sword or shinai, matter of fact, it can overcome you.
He can anticipate what's coming. And correct me if I'm mistaken, but when you have mastered kendo, you're actually called a master of strategy.
Yes, it is.
And when you have this kind of an energy, you refer to it as ki.
Ki, yes.
K-I is the spelling there. And that's an internal awareness and an ability to summon up your own personal energies that have nothing to do with lifting weights or running track.
Exactly. Right? That's come from many, many years of training. That means everyday training.
And if I'm not mistaken, virtually all of the key players in Japanese government, for example, whether it's the prime minister, the president,
yes,
the secretary of navy, all the key players are a product of the Kendo school. Is that not true?
It's quite true. Well, quite true. Yes, it is.
It's part of a grade school process that starts when you're very young. And in America, a lot of times somebody would ask, why would I bother to learn to use a sword? No, you're not training to learn to use the sword. You use the sword to teach yourself here.
Exactly. Yeah, you explained it very well.
It's like chess.
Yes, it is.
You learn to perform with each other and combat in a very mental and strategic way. Is that correct?
Yes.
And now the individual that I was referring to, who is 80 years old, it was as though he knew what you would do just from the aura around you. He was such a student of body language, breathing, temperature, etc. Are these things that then go on into your business life? Are these things then?
Yes, very much related. Very much related. So if you relate that to your everyday life, it should help you to succeed.
And also the capacity to have somebody screaming in your face. This happens constantly, particularly here in New York City and parts of Pittsburgh. It does constantly, you know, and a lot of people ball up, I call it. They crunch up as soon as somebody is confrontational to you in a loud voice or there's a rudeness or whatever. And I think, this is certainly a part of Kendo that has helped me here. And share with us, do you think this helps kids to deal with that kind of a confrontational spirit in a crowded city?
Yes, it will. It will. And as the children, they need, for the future, they need more experience. But if they're taught earlier in their age, will definitely will help for the future.
And is this something that you're going to do for the rest of your life?
Yes, it is. I will never quit.
Hey, this is a lifetime pursuit for you. How many students did you bring with you to do this?
This time I brought three of my students.
And this is an old tradition as well. You take your prize students and you travel to other dojos and share the ideas and so forth, right?
Yes, it is.
Also, something, Mr. Shikai, that people are not aware of is that this is considered a community experience. Where I went in East L.A. was actually a church. Was it not?
Well, actually, it's a Japanese language school.
Oh, okay. Same thing. It's a school.
It's a school, yes.
It's academia. It's not a gymnasium.
No.
And if most of the people there were adults, business people, individuals who were involved.
It's all pretty well mixed.
Yeah, and there is a whole community in there.
Yes, it is.
And explain what Keiko is.
Keiko is training, as basically training, but again, Keiko is you have to put 100% within your spiritual part and physical part and mentally. So again, you might go. Some people go as a physical part to do it for your health, but again, overall to help basically in my part myself. The difference between the inexperienced people to learn to get together and to understand each other, basically.
It's community experience, as
yes,
I understood it. And
yeah.
I remember our friend, the 80-year-old instructor, that was his speech. And I remember there was a gal.
Yeah, you remember very well. Wow, that's great.
Well, I learned from a great teacher. No, I remember that was his speech. And there was a young lady, if I remember, who was translating.
You remember very well.
Into English. And that was his whole speech at the end of the training that evening, was that Keiko was the most important part, to keep the community together.
Yes.
To keep the tribe together, not just the school of those who do do Kendo, but I noticed that there were a lot of very much older individuals who were obviously too physically old to actually do the Kendo, but they still came to the practice.
Yes, they did.
They would sit, even though they were practically in a wheelchair, they still came to practice and would sit against the wall as part of that community.
Exactly.
And when you start off with little tiny kids and you have the great grandparents in the same room, I can't think of any other experience where I've ever seen that outside of a family event, a wedding perhaps.
Yes, exactly.
But in terms of an art form and a sport or something, you don't see that. It's very rarely.
Probably.
It's amazing. The folks that you brought with you, your students, what are their ages, Mr. Scott?
Their age about 20, early 30s, late 20s, early 30s.
And they come from different backgrounds? Are these Japanese kids? Or are they?
The one is a Korean young man, otherwise second generation, third generation Japanese, and the other gentleman is... Caucasian.
And we're discussing kendo here. This is my kendo instructor, Mr. Shikai, and he had brought up The Last Samurai, which was probably the last real exposure for most of our friends listening here to the samurai way of life.
Yes.
And kendo is the way that we train to duplicate that kind of way of life in this day and age. Is that true?
It's true.
How many people are doing kendo today around the world, Mr. Shikai?
On the world, I'd say... Overall, I say 3 million.
3 million people.
Yes,
so
yes.
We're definitely going to see this in the Olympics at some point coming up here.
I hope so.
It's a really exciting combat to watch. And
exactly.
It comes with a whole lot of formality and ritual and ancient tradition
yes.
That makes it very, very, very special here.
It sure does.
Mr. Shikai, Shikai Sensei, my teacher, Professor Shikai, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's a big honor to be here. And Dave, good luck to you, and hope to see you soon.
So desu ka.
Thank you.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
David Lee Roth, umeme wa juu, Radio Roth. Club Dave, kunanyesha tukikuambia kunanyesha. David Lee Roth, High Speed Radio, Radio Roth. Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so. Roth Radio. Roth Radio.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, large and in charge. What an interesting guest list we have this morning, huh? Wow, that was just my kendo instructor, Mr. Shikai, Shikai Sensei. When we say sensei, it means instructor or teacher. It's more like professor. It's more than just a sport, as he was describing there. Kendo is, of course, the Japanese fencing that we do with the bamboo swords, etc. here. And my manager, Sensio, here was also trained with us back in Pasadena. That was an interesting guest to have on morning radio, huh?
It was great, man. There was no training like kendo. We used to be dying in there afterwards because you can't take the headgear off and get any water in there. So you're by the end of an hour that you can barely breathe, you're dying to pull the thing off, and you can't hurry up. You have to sit, go through the routine, and pray to God you don't pass out.
And how many people get upset standing in line for an extra minute at the movie? This is what we seek to train out of ourselves, observing proper fire discipline.
This will build patience.
Oh, my God, it builds patience. It'll also make you throw up during August. Amazing, amazing art form here. And I guess he's going to come back and visit us. He is a traveling kendo instructor, 7th degree black belt. And wow, that's top doggy here. He was very polite and, you know, spoke with a lot of humility here. But he is one of our preeminent instructors in the world today. Here.
And it's amazing because everybody's in showbiz. He comes out and he says, Matt, did I do all right? I'm like, yes, Mr. Shikai, you were great.
He did great.
I'll be back.
Now he's leading a team of people.
No, he's got what happens is you have what's called live-in students. Okay, the training that they probably are pursuing is called shugyo, which means they've made a complete commitment to that. It's austere training, shugyo, and if you are 100% student for that, and you've based your life around that, made the total commitment, the way a kid like Damon did about playing baseball at one point in time or whatever, you're called shugyosha. And when you go and travel, then you're going to take those students with you. And it's not unusual. I called it koru. It's spelled K-O-R-Y-U. Koru means old school. Old school style says that once you've obtained a certain level of proficiency, then you start to travel kind of as an apprentice to your senior instructor, and you move to different schools. You travel and visit different schools, which is the way that I have lived my martial arts experience, arguably, for the last 20 years. I've only trained in two different disciplines in my whole life. But once you have obtained that level, then you start to move around the same way doctors will work in different hospitals, or different professors will teach at different schools to pick up those little extra fine points. Actually, the art form has not changed since probably the 1500s. Only some of the gear, the way that it's manufactured, but it still looks the same. It's still the same routine. You start by kneeling on the floor in a line with your gear piled right next to you, and the teacher gives you a little speech in the beginning, and it's all very silent, and you have senior students and so forth. And he has taken his best students, and now he's visiting. They call it he calls it a kendo vacation. Not exactly. Well, that's Japanese. and you use that as a way to see the world, the way we used rock and roll to see the world. Perfect an art form and take that around. I bet you we're going to see this in the Olympics coming up pretty soon here.
You would imagine with 3 million worldwide?
Something like that. It's building and building. Plus, you know, you have entire countries now that have adopted it as their, you know, their personal thing here. Coming up in a little bit is Gail St. John. She's going to be the founder of the United States Psychic Detectives. That's on at 9. Don't go away. We got another special guest here. You want to talk martial arts a little bit? Go ahead. Give me Keith there one time, Hutch. Roth Radio. Aso desu.
Hey, how are you, Dave?
Extraordinary, Keith. What are you thinking today?
First, I just wanted to say it's an honor to talk to you and Mr. Shakai. It's an honor, actually. I had a student over the last 5 years who had some a little difficulty in the growing up area, and I got to say, when he got hooked up with a few guys that are local that are really into the martial arts, I got to say that this young man, has just changed his life around, and he's really working for the positive, and I just truly do believe it is part of, Doe the way, and finding his way through jiu-jitsu and through a few of these guys who have really helped him to see some of the different things you're talking about within kendo.
Well, I agree with you. And what happens usually to those of you who don't know what he's referring to in terms of the martial arts is that what goes along with the kick punch or the arm lock is it all starts with the manners. You would never want to teach somebody to throw a punch unless they have a way to behave in the beginning. And that starts with mopping the floor. It starts with getting there early. It starts with doing all the trashy little jobs in the dojo that nobody wants to do. And that's where the character building comes from.
This guy that we're talking about, this young man, he has now become gotten into a little bit of the American style boxing, and is currently in. He's got one more match in the American Massachusetts Golden Gloves, and he's doing really well, and he's training really hard. And like I said, the martial arts in general has done wonders for him, and I got to say it's just a pleasure to be here and pleasure to be talking to you.
Thank you. Half the time, you know what it is with kids or young people, even adults for that matter, I'm going to lump us all into this, is that you're not surrounded by people that you want to add up to. How often are you surrounded by individuals in the workplace or down at the gymnasium or whatever where you give a flat freak about what the other person thinks? It's very rare. If you're fortunate enough, especially as an adult, to find a cycle of friends who pursue other things things that you want to add up to. You want to be impressive to them. You want to be a part of that team. For me, it's the martial arts. Also, I'm a helicopter pilot, and those are very serious, disciplined, fun-loving people, and it works in that order. It's very different than my colleagues in the rock and roll field. There's always, you know, I'm always looking for a circle of friends or colleagues that I want to be as good as. When I don't have that, I tend to eat cheeseburgers for breakfast and get up at the crack of two. Thanks for calling. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Hutch, dial them in. Talk to me. Roth, you're in. Go ahead.
Long-time fan. Hey, David, I was listening to Mr. Shakai. I have a 14-year-old daughter. She's been doing kendo for a year now, and she kind of is backing off. Everybody in her group is an older generation. I was wondering, do you know where I can go to find her, someone, a group in her own age group? She's going to be 15 in March.
Okay, where
and
are you?
She loves it. In South Florida.
Okay, you're in South Florida. Where exactly, my friend?
Coral Springs.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do is let's get her phone number in the back there, guys. Producers, somebody flag me. Alberto, can you hear me back there? Flag the guys. Make sure that we get her phone number here and that we'll call you back, okay? And I can actually get in touch with Mr. Shakai because he's my connect into all the world's dojos. I've trained all over Florida.
It took us a long time to find the one that we found, and she wasn't too thrilled about it. She got hit in the head a couple of times because they're older guys, you
sure.
know? And she's, you know, she's 14. So she goes, Mom, she goes, she didn't say anything when she was there. She goes, Mom, she goes, my ear is ringing. She goes, it hurts so bad. But she goes, I still want to do it.
And of course.
She still wants to go back. It's great. Her attitude has changed within the past year. She says, since she's been doing it.
All right, stop right there, Nada, because I think you're missing an important point here. Your child is not coming home with bruises and welts. Your child is not bleeding, okay?
No, she came with bruises, though.
Okay. Okay. What's happening, and I've been doing this for almost 40 years, okay? When perhaps, and I'm going to take the devil's advocate here, maybe it's time for mommy to shut the freak up and let the little kids start growing according to the rest of the culture there. Because I assure you, they're not knocking her little skull off, okay? If you have a competent teacher, and I'm going to assume that you do, then she's taking the same kinds of little beatings and little bruises that all the rest in the class do. And the whole purpose of that is character building. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Crying is not a tactic. And when you do cry, you're just trying to change the subject. So focus. That's what we teach when we take a little beating and we take a little bruising there. And nobody is beating a child into submission. Nobody is beating adults into submission. This is a codified art form that is quite literally the national pursuit of several different countries here. It works beautifully. Depending, of course, if you have a qualified teacher. Is your teacher qualified?
As far as I know, yeah.
What degree are they? Who are they? Tell me.
His name is Michael Cobb, and he says he's been doing it for over 30 years. He's got all the Japanese and stuff. He's a wonderful teacher. She's just, and she doesn't say anything, and I didn't butt in. I didn't say anything.
Good. Then leave her alone and let her learn some of this austere training, because they're not going to send her to the hospital at all. Again, if you have a qualified teacher, what happens is the same thing that we teach our little boys when they get beat up a little bit during soccer practice, or when you get knocked to the floor during a pickup basketball game down at the playground, or. Because when you subtract this and you isolate the kids from each other, you know what happens? Surprise, the kids are six times more brutal and six times more hateful and six times more vengeful than any collection of adults ever. Nobody is more ruinous and dangerous to each other than a room full of kids given to their own device. And that's why we train very, very young along with the very, very old, literally from 9 years old to 80 years old. Again, if you have a qualified teacher, your child is in no danger of anything than the occasional teary-eyed, Mom, I don't want to really go through this character-building exercise, because I didn't want to either. Thanks for calling, Nada. 866-313-3733. Ray, you're on. Go ahead, Ray. Talk to me. Ray, you're on.
I want to congratulate you on your great efforts here. I really love the show a lot. I was just curious, what made you pick this type of style of martial arts versus, say, a taekwondo or kung fu?
This kind of a martial art is something that I, well, let me back up here. I handled my first sword when I was 11 years old at the Buddhist temple in Pasadena, California, which has a huge Asian population that goes all the way back before World War II, okay? It was not unusual when I would hang out with the Swantek brothers to go over to Keiji Oshita's house, who lived next door. Keiji's dad was a kendo instructor. So in between pretending to be John Wayne storming the sands of Iwo Jima, we would also become samurai warriors two or three times a week and bang around each other with Mr. Oshita's bamboo swords, and we would put on the helmets and so forth like this. That community also supported the movie theaters, where this was well before video and, you know, and so forth, that you had to travel out to Hollywood to the Toho La Brea Theater to see Japanese movies with English subtitles. And all we ever saw were these swords and sorcery kinds of movies, you know, the samurai clips, etc., like this. I grew up in that community from the time I was roughly 11 years old. And this kind of a pursuit compared to, for example, kickboxing. Let's pick up something really rough. You can't kickbox when you're 60 years old. Some people can. There's always an exception. You can't kickbox when you're 80 years old. I got my ass kicked right off by an 80-year-old three times in a row back in East L.A. who plays in kendo, okay, who works kendo. And that's something that is also a spiritual pursuit, because it is difficult. It's almost impossible to get it perfect. Over and over and over again, those repetitions become a meditation. It's like a drug. It's where I go without actually leaving the apartment. Does that make some kind of sense to you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it is all about discipline and all mental, because, you know, I play a lot of golf, and these golfers that you go out there, you see these big guys, they swing the, you know, swing the club really hard and go to try to kill the ball. And then you get your 70, 80-year-old golfers that are out there that are disciplined, have the right form, and it's all about, you know, being disciplined and the right momentum and, you know.
Well, you know what?
Driving the ball further than these other guys.
You're right, and I appreciate golf immensely for what it is. It's a great art form. But frankly, I'd prefer never to hit anything smaller than my manager with a stick. I saw this guy!
David Lee Roth, mornings.